When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am very excited to talk about last night's Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeat the Los Angeles Lakers. Final score, 101-99. Very impressive moment for this Nuggets team, and just a very impressive moment for a young Jamal Murray. Let me just post something over on Twitter real quick, because I accidentally went live and we had something go wrong on the back end of things, but that's okay. No problem. We are here, we are excited, and what a day, what a thing to talk about. Just an absolute crazy atmosphere last night. One that I don't think anybody really expected. I don't think anybody really expected it to come down to that, that's for sure. But the Nuggets and Jamal Murray specifically just continue to find a way. I'm going to spend the first segment talking about Jamal, basically. I'm going to spend the first segment talking about him, and then we'll get into the other stuff. But I feel obligated to talk about Jamal here. I feel obligated to start with that, as one obviously should. Jamal was 3 of 16 in the first three quarters of the game. 3 of 16. Finishes the game 9 of 24, which means he goes 6 of 8 in the fourth quarter. And these are just those reminder moments, man. These are just those reminder moments of how Denver, like, it's just Denver's time. This is just how it's supposed to be for Nuggets fans right now, for the Nuggets right now. That Jamal Murray, who has been both denigrated and credited for being a playoff riser, for being somebody who gets there for the moments, who's there for the moments in the playoffs, is clearly competitive. Sometimes in between those moments, he isn't as good as you might hope for him to be. But it's just so clear and continues to be clear that the Denver Nuggets need Jamal Murray. That the NBA needs a guy like Jamal Murray, who can go 3 of 16 in the first three quarters of a game like that, airball a floater to end the third quarter, and come back, play the entire fourth quarter, do the things that he needs to do to get himself going, and work through and compartmentalize and do all of the things that he needed to do in order to set himself up for what I think is maybe a career-defining, at least to this point, shot against the Los Angeles Lakers to defeat them at the buzzer after the Nuggets stormed back from down 20 last night. I couldn't believe it. Like, you guys know me. I do the reverse jinx thing if you listen, if you follow my work on Twitter. I do the reverse jinx thing. I did not think that Denver was going to win last night. I thought they put themselves in too much of a hole. I did not think that they would win. And I thought that this was it's just not Murray's night. Denver as a team went 8 of 34 from 3. 7 of 33 before the final MPJ shot, which was so big to tie up the game right at the end. But to see Jamal go through that the way that he did, kind of holding his head down, not necessarily in the most confident space. He was talking last night, especially like post-game to us. He was talking last night about, okay, I'm going to try to set up my teammates a little bit more. I'm going to try to maybe push the tempo a little bit, but really just try to get Joker going, MPJ going, guys like that. And the entire bench was like, no. Players, coaches, everybody involved was like, no, do not change your game. Do not change anything. You're going to make the shots. And Murray was like, he even had some doubts. He'll say that. He even had some doubts. But for him to compartmentalize what was a horrible first three quarters shooting-wise, and even like his decision-making on both ends of the floor, I thought was pretty bad. For him to compartmentalize that, for him to go from where he was there to winning a basketball game by shooting over the wannabe defensive player of the year, Anthony Davis, is about as insane of a turnaround as you can possibly have. I obviously have, I like to think I have a connection to Jamal. I like to think that, like, I understand him pretty well and understand his mentality and things like that pretty well. I don't think he thought it was going to be his night. But the Nuggets as a team, the Nuggets as an organization, and the coaching staff and the bench, DeAndre Jordan specifically, Colin Gillespie, who, if you read the Athletics article from today, my guy Tony Jones over there wrote about how, yeah, Colin Gillespie, while Jamal Murray was struggling, was like, you're going to make the game-winning shot. Like, he told him that. That's true. That happened. Which is insane. That's an insane thing for Colin to say in that moment, especially with Denver down as much as they were. But for him to get to that place and for him to work his way back, mid-range shots, driving to the rim, avoiding Anthony Davis, attacking LeBron and Rui Hachimura at the rim, guys like that. For him to go from where he was to hitting some crazy, crazy shots, including the shot that he hit before hitting the game-winning shot, which was a step back to his right over LeBron James, like at the elbow, like nearly like 19, 20 feet. That was a crazy shot too. And that was with Denver down two with about 30 seconds left to go. And then on the other end, LeBron sits down KCP. I don't even know how KCP got on the ground, but he fell down. And LeBron has this wide, wide open shot with about 16, 17 seconds left to go. 11 seconds left on the shot clock. And he misses it. He had been hitting so many crazy shots up until that point, including multiple threes in the fourth quarter. Hit an and one over KCP and Jamal in a double team. And the wide open shot that he got, he finally missed. And Michael Porter comes down with a big rebound. Everybody credited Michael Porter with a big, big rebound to end the game there. And the Nuggets have the ball with about 15, 14 seconds left to go. And they pass it over to Jamal. which I wrote in my article. Think about how much trust the Nuggets have to have in that moment. And throughout the fourth quarter, frankly, to keep putting the ball in Jamal Murray's hands, despite the fact that, yeah, Jokic has 27, 20, and 10. Like, he played a pretty fantastic game and looked unstoppable at various points throughout that fourth quarter, too. But the ball was in Jamal's hands. The ball was in Jamal's hands to make the decision, whether it was for him to get a shot or for him to pass it to Joker, depending on the coverage that the Lakers had. The Lakers switched it, so the best thing for them to do in that situation with the clock running down 3-2-1 was just for Jamal to generate as much space as possible and get a shot off. And he gets to a spot that he's very comfortable with. Harrison Wind over at DNVR put out a really nice compilation earlier this morning of all of the times that Jamal Murray has hit a baseline fadeaway over, like, not just Anthony Davis, but over everybody else.
You really got to be involved right now? Really? Right now?
Baseline fadeaway over Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis falls down. He goes into the Nuggets bench, which is hilarious. And just so funny that he hits that shot in that moment. After all of that time, good Lord, get your cat ass out of here. Just an unbelievable moment, an unbelievable shot for Jamal, an unbelievable way for that game to end. And it's because Jamal's been practicing that shot over and over and over and over again. It didn't matter the kind of contest that Anthony Davis could have possibly had, because Jamal generated so much space. He jumped so high and faded back so far on that shot, and that shot hit nothing but the back iron and dropped down. It was a perfect shot. The net didn't even move, man. Didn't even move. And Jamal was talking about post-game how he didn't even see the shot go in because, like, it was either Anthony Davis blocking him or somebody else blocking him. He didn't see the shot go through. But then the Nuggets surround him in that moment. The crowd goes crazy. It was an unbelievable environment last night. Nuggets fans, take a bow. Like, that environment was crazy. The crowd was going wild when the Nuggets were down 15. Like, just the momentum was there going from 20 to 15. And the crowd was so good in all of those moments. And then for them to get that payoff and for Nuggets fans to get that payoff with that Jamal buzzer beater. Those are storybook endings. It's why I posted on the thumbnail for this podcast, Where Amazing Happens, because that's one of those shots that you're going to see the Where Amazing Happens commercial from the NBA. Like, that will be there. That will show up. This was a career, maybe career-defining shot from Jamal. This was potentially the greatest shot that he has ever hit in his entire life. And it's probably not going to end up being that way. Like, there's plenty of amazing shots that he's also hit in the finals, that he's hit in the Western Conference Finals, yada, yada, yada. But in this moment, in a game that reminded everybody of Game 2 versus the San Antonio Spurs back in 2019 when Jamal couldn't hit anything for the first three quarters and then compartmentalized just the same way and hit a big shot after big shot after big shot in the fourth. This was exactly that, and in a situation where the Nuggets needed it. If they didn't get that, if they lost this game and you go 1-1 back to LA, you just open up Pandora's box. You open up all these opportunities for the Lakers to develop some confidence, to develop some belief. Now, the Lakers have to go, like, they've already flown back, but they had to fly back knowing that they were up 20 points in this game, and it didn't matter at the end. Insane. Insane. Just an insane thing to say. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the game flow. We're going to talk about why the Denver Nuggets got down 20, what happened that actually helped them get back into it, including some awesome defensive coverages from Ryan Saunders and Michael Malone, and KCP and Aaron Gordon really stepping up. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's now a new sponsor for Autograph, one of the best possible sponsors for just in one of the new apps that is now on the block for everybody involved. Autograph, they'll give you real articles from your team's favorite blogs, like Mile High Sports, that publishes directly in the app. You can listen to me in the app on podcasts, and you can get rewards for being a fan. That's the entire premise of the Autograph app. All you got to do is get ranked, level up, see how you stack out across other, like against other fans of your team and on your team leaderboards, things like that. You'll get some unique rewards and unlock the best possible flex-worthy rewards, including signed jerseys, tickets, memorabilia, things like that. Really, really cool stuff. Make sure to sign up with Autograph, one of the best new apps for being a fan. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for everybody for tuning into the show. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. Always happy to be able to go live and to talk to all y'all about the Denver Nuggets, especially when we get moments like last night. Sorry about the cat. This show needs more cats. We'll try to loop that in, but it's funny. He's just hiding out for the entire time, and as soon as I start podcasting, he's like, I want attention. That's great. All right. Let's get into it. The Nuggets were down 20 in this game, and a lot of that was because Denver couldn't, like, on one end, like, Denver couldn't score. They scored 44 points in the first half, and the Lakers scored 59. They were very good. They were very dynamic, including D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis. Those two were at the center of, and LeBron as well, like, to be clear. But D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis were the two that really led things off for the Lakers. I think Anthony Davis had about 24 points in the first half, while D'Angelo Russell had like 18. I think he had six threes in the first half alone. Finished with 7 out of 11, did D'Angelo Russell. So he found something. The Nuggets need to do a better job of guarding D'Angelo Russell. They can't give him these open threes. Can't give him any rhythm shots. They can't allow him to get going. But the most important thing was that Denver, they had these opportunities to come back, and they just couldn't. Like, they just missed every open shot. Denver finished the game 8 of 34 from three. That is a cool 23.5% from three. They had so many opportunities for these open shots, whether it was Jamal. Michael Porter had a couple in a row in the third quarter, although Mike certainly made up the difference in the rest of his shooting. KCP did not shoot the ball well, 2 of 7 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3. Murray was 0 of 5. The funny thing was that between Michael Porter and Nikola Jokic, the Nuggets were 8 of 12 or 8 of 14 from 3. The rest of the Nuggets team was 0 for 20. 0 for 20 is insane. Just a crazy level of shooting variance from Denver, where I thought that you get those same open shots and the team is a little bit more comfortable. Guys like Christian Brown, Justin Holiday, Reggie Jackson, they might be able to hit one or two. No dice. Things just didn't move that way. And Denver had to survive. They had to work their way out of that. There was no way that they could actually work their way out of that unless they went to the paint, because they certainly weren't getting it from three. But the other way that they could figure it out was with defense. And I want to point out this stretch. In the third quarter, Anthony Davis gets an and one. Actually, not an and one. He hits a bucket over Aaron Gordon. The Nuggets had just changed the matchup up and had Aaron Gordon guard Anthony Davis, KCP guard LeBron James, and Nikola Jokic guard Rui Hachimura. Jokic was getting cooked by Anthony Davis. He was getting absolutely cooked, and I thought that Aaron Gordon was actually doing a pretty bad job on LeBron specifically, because LeBron was getting downhill. He was getting good screens. Aaron was struggling to get through those, and Jokic had to rotate over multiple times. And when you have that happen, you're at a really difficult spot at that point, because like you've got LeBron coming downhill and Jokic isn't going to do a ton to really contest those shots. But if he steps too far over, then you've got Anthony Davis on the other side of the lane. So it was very clearly a problem. Denver needed more spacing. They needed more quickness. They needed more athleticism on the ball. And so they have KCP there to navigate screens, and they had Aaron Gordon to switch or to play drop coverage and then just kind of think about like just how they could get back in front of AD and contest those shots as best as possible. And Denver from that point on, where they changed that matchup, AD gets the bucket at the 7:15 mark. The Lakers had 74 points at the 7:15 mark. Then they had 74 points at the 6-minute mark, and the 5-minute mark, and the 4-minute mark, and the 3-minute mark. It wasn't until 2:01, over 5 minutes later, when D'Angelo Russell hit a clutch three from the left corner, so an open three, to give the Lakers back a 12-point lead. But that lead for them had gone from what was 19 at the time of Davis making that shot at 7:15 to now, even after D'Angelo Russell hit the three, it's only 12. And then Jokic gets an offensive rebound and makes it 10. LeBron gets a couple free throws, but then Christian Brown hits a jumper and it's 10 again. And it's 10 heading into the fourth quarter. It wasn't 20, it wasn't 15, it was 10. And the Nuggets, they know that they can cut into a 10-point lead. That's not insane. That's not a crazy thing. And Denver works their way back. Murray, of course, at the center of much of it. Aaron Gordon, I thought, played a massive role in the middle with just playing the backup center spot. Denver didn't go to DeAndre Jordan this time around. They went to Aaron Gordon. And I thought that that was the right call. And it's not just him, but Peyton Watson makes some great defensive plays. And the Lakers, they only score 20 points in the fourth quarter. They scored 20 points in the third, 20 points in the fourth. And it was Denver's defense that got them back into it. Denver outscored the Lakers 57-40 in the second half. And so you get Aaron Gordon having a layup, Christian Brown with a layup, Jamal Murray gets going, Peyton Watson gets a shot in transition, Murray, AG with a couple free throws. By the way, AG making his free throws to start this series, just like he did at the beginning of last year's playoffs. He's locked in, he's playing really well, and those free throws were absolutely huge. The only guy who missed any free throws yesterday was Christian Brown, and like, Christian's just got to be better at the free throw line, man. Like, that's going to have to happen. But fortunately, Denver made all of their other free throws, which they needed every single one, to be clear. And Denver, without making threes, like, I thought that they would need at least 2 3-pointers. When they got to, like, it was 7 of 33 at one point. I thought they'd need 2 3-pointers in order to get back into it. They didn't even need that. They just needed one. But it was a big shot from Michael Porter Jr., who, after LeBron had stolen the ball from Jamal Murray, and like, it was a bad decision, a bad pass from Jamal trying to get it back to Jokic, LeBron jumps the pass. He gets back and gets dunk in transition. Denver pushes it really quickly. Joker takes this wild, like, trying to draw the three-shot foul kind of shot. Doesn't really get the call. Like, clearly doesn't get the call. Aaron Gordon makes a heroic save on the baseline to get that ball, to collect it. That ball should have been Austin Reeves. Like, he should have been able to get that rebound, but Aaron Gordon fights for that possession, kicks the ball out to an open Michael Porter, and Mike hits a crazy shot with about a minute left to go. And at that point, you could just feel the momentum. You feel it over and over and over again. Jokic had had a bunch of possessions against Anthony Davis and others, whether it was Rui or AD or LeBron, where he gets into the middle of the paint and hits a big shot. Or you get that Mike 3, or you get a Jamal Murray pull up. It just felt like the avalanche was coming. And Denver needed just one more stop. And they got it. LeBron gifted them a stop on that one. Did not expect him to miss that wide open of a shot, that's for sure. But he did. And Jamal obviously collects the ball after Michael Porter rebounds it. Gets to a spot, gets his shot off, hits a big one. If you're the Lakers, this has to be maybe the most demoralizing loss you've ever had with this team. Ever. Because the Nuggets were dead. They were absolutely dead in the water. And all the Lakers had to do was keep the pressure on a little bit. Or not let Jamal Murray get going. And they didn't do either of those things. They needed one of those things to go well. And it didn't. Like, the Lakers were up 20 points. And yeah, there were some complaints about the refs, to be clear. I'll get to that in the third segment. There were some complaints about the refs. But if you're the Lakers, like, you can't let that be the reason why you actually lost. But the Lakers were throwing some tantrums in the pressers last night. Like, LeBron James is complaining about the replay center. Anthony Davis drops the mic after he says Jamal Murray made a shot. Drops the mic, walks away. D'Angelo Russell saying that everybody saw the foul. Everybody saw the foul. Everybody saw me got hit on the head. After the shot was released, of course, but rules don't mean anything. Denver shot 17 free throws. The Lakers shot 13. This was the 18th time out of 86 games for the Lakers between the 82 regular season games, the in-season tournament game, the in-season tournament championship, which is an 83rd game, the play-in game that they played, and then these two against the Nuggets. This was just the 18th time. Less than 25% of the time that the Lakers have shot fewer free throws than the opponent. They always get calls. They always go to the free, like they go to the free throw line, they do what they can. But for as many shots as the Nuggets missed from three last night, they still finish with way more points in the paint than the Lakers did. Way more of a reason, I think, to give the Nuggets more free throws, because they were very aggressive going to the rim because they had no other choice. They weren't making anything. Anything at all. So if you're the Lakers, you can't complain about the refs. What are we doing here? What are we doing? You're on the road, for one thing. You just outshot the Nuggets 19-6 in game one. And you're mad that the Lakers are not getting to the free throw line as often as the Nuggets are, when the Nuggets were the team that was clearly struggling to make more jump shots, and the Lakers actually ended up settling for more jump shots, especially in the mid-range? Like, what are we doing? Come on. I know that Lakers fans love to live in delusion. Like, they've been taught this by the NBA. Like, this is a learned behavior, because the NBA has clearly done this for the Lakers for 50 years. But it's just hilarious that, like, yeah, you lose a shot on a buzzer beater. You don't score for 5 straight minutes in the third quarter. You only score 20 points in the fourth quarter because Denver played great defense. And Anthony Davis, you remember that shot that he hit with 7:15 left in the third quarter? Yeah, he had 32 points at that point. Those were his last points of the game. He shot 0-for for the next few minutes in the third quarter, and then didn't score a point in the fourth. If the Lakers have anything to complain about, it is that they let a golden opportunity slip through their fingers, and they will never get that good of an opportunity ever again. Ever. The Nuggets are in a great spot now. They're in a great spot mentally, and I am very curious to see how the Lakers respond. Very curious to see what this series looks like when we go back to LA. When, like, Denver's got an off day today, they'll go to LA, they'll play in crypto, and I'm curious to see what the Lakers bring. So when we come back, we are going to talk about what happens in LA, what happens for game 3, and also in this Jokic AD matchup, because this is a very intriguing matchup that I'm really looking forward to talking about. Should be very interesting to see where it goes from here.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at Ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Final segment. Thank you so much for tuning into the show, everyone. Let's actually talk about Joker versus AD first before we get into game three. Good Lord. Let's be honest. Joker was getting cooked. He was getting just flambéed for a while by Anthony Davis. And I was turning to my guy, Matt Moore, and he was telling me, you have to live with these shots. It is a requirement to live with these shots. These are shots that Anthony Davis shoots about 30% on, 30 to 35%. These step backs, the mid-range jumpers, things like that. These are not good shots for Anthony Davis specifically. But at some point when you go 14 of 15 to begin the game, you're probably thinking, okay, like maybe there's something that Denver could have done a little bit differently. And in my opinion, I said it to him, and Michael Malone kind of reiterated that post game. The Nuggets just didn't allow Anthony Davis to feel them at all on that end of the floor. Davis did not shoot a bunch of free throws by any stretch of the word, but that was because he wasn't really being contacted. Like 4-4 from the free throw line, and I can't honestly remember when the free throws took place because it to me. Actually, there were a couple and ones, so I assume he got hit with a shooting foul one other time. But I don't even remember when it was. But that's the thing, is like the Nuggets weren't, like he wasn't being felt at all. Like, Nikola Jokic wasn't doing a good enough job defensively on him, playing a physical enough brand. And I think that was fine, that Aaron switched on to him, that KCP switched on to LeBron. It says a lot about those two specifically that they can play out of position like that. KCP's 6'5". He's probably 210, 215. LeBron is like 250. Like he's built like a brick house. Anthony Davis is 6'11", 7 feet tall. And very clearly, like just should have a matchup advantage over Aaron Gordon. But kind of like the Karl Anthony Towns matchup last year against the Minnesota Timberwolves, Gordon did a great job of avoiding that, of giving Denver plenty of opportunities and then not allowing Davis to feel comfortable in that mid-post area. It was great. And that was an important thing for Denver, that they were able to kind of find a matchup that worked. The Lakers will counter that. They'll find other ways to attack Joker. They'll find other ways to attack Jamal. They did in the game last night. And D'Angelo Russell also found some things that are very important too. But I'm watching this Joker versus AD matchup thinking, yeah, this is going to be one of those things that you are having to wonder about for a while. And I'm curious as to how this continues to evolve. Like, is Anthony Davis going to continue to go at Joker? Are they going to go back to that matchup? Or are they going to start games with KCP on LeBron and Aaron Gordon on Anthony Davis? I don't know. We'll find out. But good thing for Denver, they've got a couple days off to figure that out. Then on the other end, there were plenty of opportunities. And Anthony Davis spent most of the time covering Joker last night. I'm actually going to see if I can pull up the stats on what he did. I think he was 2 of 7 or 2 of 8 in game 1. I'm curious to see how Joker shot against Anthony Davis specifically in game 2. Let's see. should be on playoffs. So 6 of 15 overall. So if he was 2 of 7, that means he was 4 of 8 against Anthony Davis in game 2. If it was 2 of 8, then he was 4 of 7. Joker wasn't super aggressive against Davis other than free throws. And then there were a couple of times where he got into the middle of the paint, especially on like pick and roll opportunities, and would kind of muscle Davis out of the way. But he got into the post a couple times, and especially in that fourth quarter, like some of those buckets were extremely clutch. And I wonder if Denver can get to that a little bit more in game 3, just because you always want the ball in Joker's hands if you can potentially get it there. But it was funny. Like, even with Anthony Davis covering Joker one-on-one, the Lakers still sent help on occasion. It wasn't just a, hey, we're going to let you cook one-on-one kind of thing. They still sent double teams. And that's probably the right strategy for them, because it puts the best defender on the Lakers on Jokic, but it also doesn't allow Joker to go to work one-on-one without the prospect of any help, and it simplifies everything for Joker in that regard. And when you simplify things for Joker, that is probably a bad thing. So I'm curious to see how this matchup continues to evolve for both ends of the floor, because if Denver is having Joker go at AD consistently, then he's going to have to continue to find opportunities to shoot. 27 points last night, 20 rebounds, 10 assists, was a plus one, but only 9 of 16 from the field. And a couple, there were a couple heaves in there as well. So like there was one heave where I think it was Jamal kind of threw him a grenade that he just kind of had to chuck up at the rim. And then I think he had a long distance shot as well. I don't even know if he missed a legitimate three last night. So like Joker's dialed in. He is locked in. Giving him more opportunities for a pick and pop against Anthony Davis, probably a good idea, because Joker's three-pointer right now is looking really good. And I would expect that to continue to evolve. Because if he can continue to drag Anthony Davis out to the three-point line, that helps everything else underneath. It means that Aaron Gordon's got to finish over LeBron or Rui, or Michael Porter's got to find opportunities to cut. Jamal has to find opportunities to cut. Jamal actually got like blocked by LeBron early on in that game, trying to dunk on him. And that was a crazy, crazy play. I hope that doesn't happen again, that's for sure. But Jamal's going to have to continue to find more opportunities to attack the rim, especially if AD is kind of attached to Joker at the perimeter, like he was for much of clutch time last night. There are opportunities where Jamal was kind of snaking the pick and roll, and Anthony Davis, rather than help out on Jamal, was just staying attached to Joker on the perimeter. And that is maybe the right call, but it also helped Jamal get going, because he was able to navigate space against much smaller guys, and he had a lot of space to do it. So this is the drawback of having Anthony Davis guard Joker as opposed to guarding Aaron Gordon, because Anthony Davis would be in the dunker spot or trying to protect the rim in those situations. So I'm curious to see if the Lakers still continue to play with that matchup. Maybe they have Rui guard Joker a little bit more frequently, trying to keep AD in the paint, because that allowed Denver the opportunity to get into the paint a little bit more. It allowed Jamal to get going, I think.
Bro, I'm podcasting. What are you doing?
Ugh. So, game 3, I don't know what Denver's ultimately going to look like. I think that it's very possible that the Lakers actually do take game 3 at this point. Still more cat ass. What's going on? And if they did take game 3, it shouldn't surprise any Nuggets fan at this point, just because, I mean, the Lakers have been very close these last couple of possessions. They have been very, very close. And to me, it seems like it's either going to go one of two ways. The Lakers are either going to Sorry. The best comment of the day. Ryan Blackburn and the cat ass in Pickaxe and Roll. That's my nickname for Smoke the Cat here. He's just chilling. That's funny. Game three is going to either go one of two ways. The Lakers are going to find more momentum. They're going to continue that. Denver probably, like, if they don't shoot well, which they haven't shot well in Denver, so why would they shoot well in LA? Like, it just wouldn't surprise me if Denver struggles and they don't get going, and then the Lakers get more calls, and it just feels like the Lakers are going to try to even up the series in that moment. Or the Lakers are broken, and the Nuggets, they take the momentum that they've accumulated through games one and two, finishing games strong, knowing that they have to be better at the beginning of games in game three, and they just absolutely crush all opposition and crush the spirit of the Lakers. That would not surprise me either. It's either going to be one of those two things, and I'm very, very interested to see how it breaks down, but I'm looking forward to it, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. Fortunately, we get a little break. We get a little breather. Denver doesn't play on Tuesday tonight. They don't play Wednesday. They play on Thursday. So Denver will have a they'll have practice on Wednesday, and then they'll fly to LA. And I am looking forward to seeing what happens with this team, because Denver's done their job. They have done their job. It's now up to LA to try to reciprocate. And if Denver can steal at least one of them, maybe both, in LA, then it sets Denver up for a long playoff run, because you want to be able to finish off this series as quickly as possible. That's the hope for any team in these situations. So far, every single home team has won in the playoffs. Games one for some of the teams, and then games one and two for others. It's going to be interesting to see whether the Lakers can reciprocate when we get to game three there. All right, everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Autograph. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast, as always. Please hit that like button, that subscribe button. Would genuinely appreciate it. Going to be a great, great week for Nuggets coverage. Keep it tuned into Mile High Sports as well on the YouTube side. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. But also on the website, where I'm trying to put out good content, good articles as frequently as possible. I'm a one-man band at this point, so I'm doing what I can to keep up the coverage, but hopefully you're enjoying what you see. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit that like button on the way out. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.